baby. Yeah.
Good morning and welcome to Wrestling with the Basics. I'm Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark.
And I'm Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky. I'm from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity in Darmstadt, Illinois. And Matt.
And understand we have a special guest with us this morning.
That's right. That's right.
Our last episode of
2012.
Yeah.
But the third lap in our marathon recording session. For those of you that have been listening the last few weeks, Matt and I have set out to record four back-to-back episodes of Wrestling with the Basics so we have fresh and new material as you enjoy your Christmas and holiday vacation. And remember what I tell you, what's the key thing about doing a marathon recording session, Matt?
Pace yourself.
All right.
Pace yourself. I started off a little fast.
You
I'm
did.
Starting to
I was
feel
afraid,
it now.
Yeah. I was afraid you're going to burn yourself out. But we brought in Amos the Shepherd last week to kind of give us a little breather.
Yes.
And this week we have yet another guest we want to share with you, Terry Crownover. Terry, are you there?
Yes, I am, John.
And Terry, just tell people a little bit how you and I met and what you do. You are a man called by God. We all have a vocation by the Lord, but you have a very special vocation. Go ahead. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Terry.
Well, thank you, John and Matt. John, you had asked how you and I first met. I used to hear you on the Bible study hour there at KFUO.
Oh, okay.
And your laugh caught my attention. And I said, I've got to meet that gentleman. And eventually, over the years, I had that privilege meeting you at Memorial Hospital in Belleville.
And you know what? I had a terrible gallbladder attack just so I could meet you, Terry. Because we would pass in the hallway, and I was always thinking, you know, I really need to get a chance to really visit with Terry. And so I thought, I think I'm going to get incredibly sick. So I have to spend several days in the hospital so I can visit with Terry. So that was all for you, Terry. I don't know if I told you that or not.
Well, it was a divine appointment.
Yes, it was. The Lord does work in mysterious ways, doesn't it? So, I'm sorry, why did we meet in Memorial Hospital?
Well, of course, as a chaplain, you were on my end of the hospital assignment for the day.
Now I want to know the truth, Terry. Was I really on your end, or did Doug Nicely just say, here, you take him?
I don't want this guy.
Well, probably both.
Doug,
actually,
by the way,
I don't recall, but I do remember visiting you, and you were always, and always have been, very pleasant and encouraging and laughing and good-spirited and kind, and that draws my attention, and I always want to know what makes a person that to have those qualities, and so you drew my interest, plus you were a patient.
Now, here's the thing, Terry. See, the truth of the matter is you were the one that was kind and helpful and compassionate and encouraging. Terry came and visited me in the hospital because that's your full-time job, right, Terry? You're chaplain there at Memorial Hospital?
Well, I'm a relief chaplain. I'm
okay.
Not full-time. I sure would enjoy it, but
yeah.
Working on a chaplain nicely and working with the other chaplains is a great joy.
Okay, so yeah, and Terry came in and just really was a great comfort to me and my illness, and I thought, we got to get this guy on the radio show. So Terry, you're relief chaplain there at Memorial. What other things do you do then?
That I do at the hospital?
Well, no, just in your calling.
In the ministry.
In the ministry, yeah.
Well, I have about 35 years of ministry work experience. I pastored 30 years in both Illinois and Missouri. And I, of course, assist nursing homes. I currently lead two worship services at Assisted Living in Swansea, Illinois. And I, of course, do funerals and at one occasion maybe a wedding or two. I do supply preaching for various churches, and I work with our Metro East Baptist Association in various capacities and have been doing those kind of things for many years. But even now when I'm semi-retired, I enjoy the Lord's work.
Yeah, and you know, see, that touches my heart, Terry, because I'm reaching that age where probably in the next few years I'm thinking about retirement. But you don't really retire as a pastor, do you?
Not at all. I enjoy the work, and I will never retire.
Well, I just want to say personally, I really appreciated the prayers and the comfort you brought me while I was in the hospital. But now we have a rather foolish thing to ask you to do. if you don't mind.
All right, now, there's no time for foolishness.
What was that?
Try that again.
All right, now, there's no time for foolishness.
Oh, there's always time for foolishness. We are known as the radio show that puts the fun in the fundamentals, Terry.
Uh-huh.
And we want you to do the honor of giving us, this is our New Year's episode, even though New Year's is just still 2 days away, but, you know, it's how time things work out. We would like you to give us the very first joke of the New Year's.
Well, here's one of my favorites.
Okay.
There was a gentleman on the side of the road, and he was throwing sand on his tractor. Must have been a John Deere. And the police were notified, there's a strange man on the side of the road throwing sand on his tractor. So the police stopped and said, "Sir, why are you throwing sand on your tractor?"
That's my question, too. Okay, yeah.
Okay, good question. And the gentleman responded to the officer. He said, "Officer, there's this beautiful lady that I've always wanted to date, and I don't know how to get her to like me, so I spoke to my medical doctor, and he said, if I want her to date me, I must do something to attract her."
Now, can we do this on Christian radio? I want to interrupt you here before we get to the punchline.
Well, that was the punchline.
Oh, shoot. Something to a tractor. Oh, man.
the first joke of the year.
I didn't get it.
Maybe it is time for retirement.
I think it is, Terry.
Well, if we had time, I have another.
Oh, please do. Please do.
The second joke of the new year. Here we go.
Well, there was a father and mother, and they were concerned for the divine calling of their son.
Okay.
So they put him into a room by himself to pray for a couple of hours. And they gave him a Bible, a dollar bill, and an apple.
That's funny already.
Yeah, it is. Okay.
They said if he comes out with a dollar bill, he'll be a banker. If he comes out with the apple, he'll be a farmer. If he comes out with the Bible, he'll be a minister. So they prayed for him as he prayed with the Lord. And a couple hours, he came out. He had the Bible under his arm, the dollar bill in his pocket, and the apple in his mouth. And Ma looked at Pa and said, "Pa, what do you think he's going to be?" He said, "Ma, our son is going to be a politician."
Holy cow.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you for helping us start off the new year right.
Okay.
And again, hey, you're in our prayers. Blessings to you. You want to come on again maybe in a few weeks and do some more jokes for us?
Well, I'm always available.
All right. Well, blessings. Do you got any Bible studies? Anything's coming up the rest of the day, or you got the day off?
Well, I've got the day off today, and I've got some chores to do, but I've been doing Bible study out of the book of Galatians and looking at 1 Peter.
Oh,
and,
awesome.
And I appreciate you and Matt and your courtesy. And we also went memorial work with the Concordia Seminary students to provide them some chaplain training.
Yep, yeah, give them some experience.
So you guys and the organization have been wonderful.
Well, great. Again, Terry, Happy New Year to you, and we hope to talk to you maybe a few weeks from now. All right, blessings to you, Terry.
And the Lord bless you and
yeah.
Matt.
Yeah, good to meet you, Terry.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. Well, that was exciting. Nice to hear from Pastor Crownover and the chaplain there. And they are doing him. And Doug, by the way, Doug Nicely is also on the staff here at KFU. And Doug and I have been friends for years and years. So we're glad they're doing a good thing there for all the people. And, you know, here again, it's the holiday season. The last place you want to be in the hospital.
Yeah.
But it is good that there are people there sent by God, again, to remind you that the Lord still loves you, even if you're having your baby in a manger. You know?
There you go.
The Lord is still with you. He still cares
for
you.
And as a parish pastor, boy, I really appreciate those hospital chaplains to supplement and support the ministry that we do for our own members. But before we get there, many times they've already met with them and offered prayers with them. And what a comfort, especially when you're sick and down and out, especially this Christmas time of year, to know that the Lord's with you and have that visible reminder. So again, thanks, Terry, and all our hospital chaplains for the service you do for the Lord and for his people.
All right, Matt. Well, it's up to you. Where are we going from here?
All right.
What did you want to talk about as we get ready? By the way, just to let people know, next week, if you've tuned in to listen to the conclusion of Matt's scintillating interview with Amos the Shepherd, that will be on next week's episode, because Amos actually has some things to say about Epiphany, and so next week will be our Epiphany episode. So what did you want to
Excellent.
Talk about today?
Well, today, going on with this theme of the new year,
good.
I thought it'd be interesting to talk about. Let me start with this. Talk about resolutions. Do you have any New Year's resolutions this year, John?
Now you've gone from preaching to meddling, as they say, Matt. As a matter of fact, I'll be honest with you, at this point, since we're recording this actually a month before.
This is our marathon. Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
So not yet.
Okay.
Well, let's see. You're kind of in the minority if you don't have one.
Oh, is that right?
The percentage of Americans who usually make New Year's resolutions are 45%.
You're kidding me. Really?
And the percentage that absolutely make New Year's resolutions are 38%.
Is that right?
So that leaves us 17% that infrequently or don't make one at all.
Okay.
I thought that was pretty remarkable.
That is remarkable.
So you're in the 17%.
I'm in the 70%.
Not the 1%, not the 99%, the 17%.
Yeah, most of the standards of our culture, I'm pretty well down on the percentage there. So that doesn't surprise me.
So, since you didn't make one, just think about other people.
Yeah.
What do you think some of the common New Year's resolutions are?
Lose weight. Lose weight. Is that what?
Oh, you're good. You're good. Because I have the top 10 list.
You
here.
Do? Okay.
This is legitimate. This is from University of
Scranton. You have to say that on our show, because otherwise people don't know, do they? They think, oh, they're just making that stuff up. But this is legitimate. Okay.
This is legitimate.
All right. So let me see. So losing weight, was that one of the top 10?
Well, see, this is just how good you are. That is number one.
Oh, man. I wish we were playing
number
Family
one
Feud.
I know. You'd be the big winner.
And that's it. Sorry, I've run out of possibilities.
Well, we've got number 10, spend more time with family. That's number 10.
Good. That would be on my
good.
List. Yeah.
Number 9, fall in love, which I'm really not
I've already,
sure.
I've already done that, but I would like to continue being in love. Does that qualify?
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
I think so. But we'll get to that.
Okay.
Falling in love, I'm not really sure how you resolve to fall in love. But
I don't either.
That's commendable, I guess. Number 8, help others with their dreams. Number 7, quit smoking. Number 6, learn something exciting. Which I don't know why they'd be listening to us. But
for some people, this is exciting,
some
Matt.
Say,
you know, it's all
exciting
relative.
For me. Yeah.
Don't you know sarcasm when you hear it?
Number 5, staying fit and healthy. Number 4, enjoying life to the fullest. Number 3, spend less, save more. Number 2, getting organized. And number 1, like you said, losing weight. So I think that's interesting. But the common thing that I see with resolutions is they all have to do with one thing, really. They all have to do with change.
Changing, okay.
Because you made that comment with staying in love. Does that count?
Yeah.
Well, I think it should count, but that's not the top 10.
No, everybody's looking at what's wrong, and they want to do something different.
Yeah, everyone's looking for what's wrong. They want to do something different. Things need to change. They want to make that change in the new year. And so that's what I would like to talk about a little bit, is about change.
That sounds like a good theme.
Yeah, I think that fits in with the new year. And to make resolutions isn't wrong or bad. Certainly that's good, and change can be good. And many of those resolutions were positive changes, healthy changes, and that can be a good thing. But when you think about change, though, I mean, it is remarkable just the changes that have taken place in our world. Being around as long as you have, John.
Ouch.
You've seen lots of changes.
Yes, I have. Yes. I used to have to run around in my car with my feet. I had to push my car with my feet. That was back when my pet dinosaur, Dino. Yeah. Me and Fred.
But really, you know, just in communications, how... it's incredible. First of all, it was just oral communication and face-to-face communication, and then the telegraph came along, and radio, even being used today, and now worldwide radio over the internet. That's incredible.
Scary is what it is. Or do you think that our show is actually being heard in
that?
Australia
worldwide,
right now?
That's
scary.
Is incredible. Well, and just telephones, too, text messages. Yep. So you don't have to talk to anyone. You just send them a text message.
You know, that's the thing I heard this Christmas, that you would text, what carol would you like me to text you? We don't go out caroling anymore. We just text our
carols. Just text
the words. Yeah.
It's not quite the same.
No, I suppose not.
What really concerns me, though, is the change in junk food.
Yes?
Yeah, Oreos, for instance. They've been around 100 years.
Yep.
And for most
yep.
of the 100 years, the plain Oreo was just fine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But now you walk down the cookie aisle, and you've got all sorts of Oreos. I mean, you got the double stuff, the golden, the mint, the peanut butter, the gingerbread this time of year.
It's Twinkie compensation,
well,
Matt.
See, and that's what really worries me. The Twinkies and Ding Dongs, talk about change.
Yep.
They're gone altogether.
They're gone. So we need more different Oreos to replace.
Apparently so, yeah. To make up for the void there. Twinkies and Ding Dongs. Oh, jeez. But, I mean, those are... Oh, what's going on?
He's coming
to Matt, turn off the sound. Pull down the thing.
Dude, here's what I was trying to do. Hold on just a second.
Go ahead.
By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point.
Yeah, thank you.
It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Thanks.
I've got to quit reaching across the aisle to do stuff I'm not supposed to do. Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slap your hand away next time.
Yeah, please do. Slap me. There's no problem. I'm sorry. So what was the point you were trying to make here?
The point is that change exists. Change is good. Change can be bad. Change can be kind of indifferent, I suppose.
Well, we actually heard that a couple of weeks ago, that everything by nature will change, even the temple, the mighty stones.
That fits in well during these birth pangs as the end draws near.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, boy. Talk about changes. And changes in our own lives, too. We can think of some of these humorous changes, but the birth of a new child or moving to a new home, being laid off from a job, getting a new job, the death in a family. I mean, all sorts of changes. So, for the new year, when we think about change, what is it that we put our trust in this new year? Because I think so often, myself included at times, we put our trust in things that change.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, we put our trust in that job, or we put our trust in that retirement that we've been planning for and socking away for, or we put our trust in the stock market. Think about that. Individuals whose really future plans were kind of very much altered when the stock market went south. Or change in our health. Sometimes we trust in our own health, our own physical well-being, the way we've taken care of ourselves. That changes.
I can testify to that. That July, I was getting ready to celebrate July 4th, and the next thing you know, I was laying in a hospital bed.
Yeah. And there's Terry there, Pastor Terry. Ministering, yeah. So, I mean, changes everywhere. And rather than putting our trust in something, things that change, during this new year, I'd like to focus on something that doesn't change, something that's worth putting our trust in. So the verse I'd like to look at, if you want to open up your Bible, is the book of Revelation, chapter 1. So Revelation.
There's a lot of changes.
Yeah, last book of the Bible, and it's kind of this apocalyptic literature with some symbolism of things.
What chapter, man?
Chapter 1. Let's look at chapter 1.
Right at the beginning.
Yeah, we'll just start at the beginning.
Make it easy for me. Okay, what would you like me to read?
And, well, we're going to read a couple of verses 4 through 8 of Revelation 1.
Okay.
But before we do that, just to set the stage, who wrote the book of Revelation?
John.
Very good. Good.
I had to think for a second.
Yeah, John. Yes. Very good. John the Apostle writes Revelation. And do you remember the circumstances behind Revelation? Where he's at? What's going on
he's
in his life?
He's exiled on the island of Patmos, and just about everybody else that was of significance to the church has already been martyred and dead. So he's the last guy left.
Isn't that amazing?
He's isolated way there on the island.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, if someone knew about change,
John.
I mean, this former fisherman, Galilee, to be called by Jesus to be a disciple, to be a fisher of men. What a change. And then to see all those changes that take place as he follows Jesus. Jesus is popular. The people are ready to make him king. At one moment, the next moment, they're ready to crucify him. They're shouting for his death. All these changes. And then for John to see that change on Good Friday when Jesus does die, And for the fear and the despair and the worry that he experienced and the other disciples being changed to the joy of Easter Sunday and to know that Jesus is risen. And then to see the changes in the church, to see the church grow from just those few followers to hundreds, even thousands. And then unfortunately to see bad changes too. The persecution of Christians, like you mentioned, the other apostles martyred, killed for the faith. And now John exiled, really, to this island of Patmos for the faith, for proclaiming Christ.
Yeah, you know, that's the thought that occurred to me. You know, if he was looking for this great explosion, all of a sudden Christianity becoming a predominant world religion, that change isn't taking place. At this point, he's writing this, the great persecutions in Rome under Nero have taken place. As I said, all of the other disciples have been martyred.
Yeah
so it isn't looking really good for Christianity at this point. So
you're right. So but God doesn't leave John alone. So here on this island of Patmos is this revelation from the Lord, and John records it for us. So if you could read verses 4 through 8, and we're listening for things, the one thing that doesn't change.
Okay. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty.
All right, thanks. So two names here that I think are worth looking at. So verse 4, the one who is, who was, who is to come. Isn't that beautiful? And then another name in verse 8. I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord.
Again, who is and who was and who is to come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful?
Repeat that again. Yeah.
So the one who's changeless, of course, is God.
Yeah.
Alpha and Omega, the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. It's like saying that God is the A and the Z. If we're talking English, nothing comes before him, nothing after him, which blows me away to know that before the creation of the world, God was there. Incredible. At creation, he's there.
And he's always going to be there.
And
that's what blows me away.
After the last day and Christ's return, he will still be there. Not for 1,000 years or a million or billion years, but forever and ever. And not only will he be there, but he'll be unchanging. And what a wonderful assurance that not only does our God not change, but his promises to us this new year don't change, too. The promise to be with us always, that nothing can separate us from his love. The promise of forgiveness and life and salvation through his son, Jesus. I mean, those are the things that don't change.
And you know, Matt, I'm really glad you bring that up, because as people come to the end of this year, a lot of things has changed for them.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of to know that God of grace and mercy, no, that hasn't changed. And it won't change this next year, whatever may come, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What a beautiful promise, a blessed assurance. And so when we have questions like...
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Just had to play that one more time.
Yeah, there you go.
So that's what Christmas is all about, too. That promise of a Savior was fulfilled at first Christmas, our Savior's birth. Promise will be fulfilled at the second coming of Jesus. And also God's promise that he never changes. That's sure, too. Just as sure as Jesus came as a little baby, our Savior, our God and our Lord will never change. And so just an encouragement as we begin this new year in the midst of change, that our God does not change.
Well, thank you, Matt. Thank you very much. We have, I hope you're not wore out, because we got one more episode in our marathon.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
So, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too, and blessed 2013 to all of our listeners.